we're back. What episode is this?
27.
Uh-huh. 27. We've had a few wrinkles lately. Bundy's been holding out, if you notice, a little contract dispute the last few weeks. Bundy didn't come. He just wants to tweak his contract a little bit. You know, Justin, he wants to rename the podcast the Bundy Podcast, with special guest being Chuda. We shot that down, you know. Then he, his people got back to me with the Bundy and Bean Chuda podcast.
That does sound good, though.
The jury's still out on it. So 27th episode is brought to you by Crave Disposable.
Nice.
Bundy loves Crave. He smokes it like a fucking broken stove.
Yeah.
He likes the, what does he like?
All the flavors.
No, he likes the black ice.
The black ice is good.
Yeah, Bundy loves black ice, Justin, and the peach ice, blue raz ice. He likes all the ice, right?
Yeah, they're all good.
I don't know what it is. Bundy loves the ice. What are the other ices?
I'm not sure.
The clear ice, right?
Yeah.
And then, just basically all the ices, you know. Bundy loves that stuff. Crave Disposable. My guy Moose owns Crave. And if anybody needs any Crave, but no. Bundy, you know, he might be known to, you know, slang a few vapes on the side piece. We got Crave sponsoring this podcast. They're the best. They're in every Indian store you can imagine. They have Crave products, and they also carry everything. If you're buying some Chore Boy, it's probably going, you know, Moose is probably getting a couple dollars out of that. Gas station boner pills, Moose.
Yeah, I should have grabbed some.
Yeah, yep. Bundy, for your girl. Bundy has two teeth, one for gum, one for candy.
Yeah.
No, Bundy's got
two brand new teeth.
Bundy's got new teeth. He's shining like new money over there. Me and Bundy have been talking about the Karen Reed case all week.
Yeah.
It's starting to heat up, Justin.
It's heating up big time.
It's really heating up. Everybody testifying against her are cops or cops' families. And, you know, I'm not going to say every cop lies under oath. But every cop lies under oath pretty much.
I mean,
everybody lies under oath, but it's like when a cop takes a stand, usually it's like a jury just hangs on their every word and they take it as gospel.
Yeah.
But if you've ever been on the other side of it, you're like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, they're professional witnesses. I mean, that's what they do. They get, you know, double time and triple time to show up in court and testify all the time. So the normal person gets up on the stand. It's like talking in front of a crowd, right? If you've never done it, you know, unless you're just, you know, certain people, they could do anything, right? But talking in front of a crowd is nerve wracking. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. And these guys, you know, they do it for a living. It's like an actor, right? An actor gets up and, you know, can you believe him? I don't know. But that whole case, you know, we were talking about, you know, the injuries he sustained. What was it? A fractured eye socket and left eye socket. So someone hit him with a right hand, suck at him.
Yep.
Right? What was the other injuries? Back of his head.
You fell down.
Yeah. Someone knocked him out. He went back, cracked the back of his head.
Yep.
Dragged him outside. Yep. That, you know, that's what I'm thinking. What about you, Bundles?
Yeah, exactly what happened. And easy as that. So
they're saying she intentionally backed up and hit him or took off. What is it now, Justin?
So they're trying to say that she was shit-faced and she backed into him and ran over him.
And they get the video. She backed into the car in the driveway.
Yeah,
the other car.
On her way to look for him at like 5 in the morning, she backed into the other car. And
that's how she broke her taillight.
Yeah.
So if you're backing up into the guy, how are you going to, you know, his left eye, so, you know, someone punched him with the right hand, right? How's he going to sustain injuries to the back of his head and his left eye?
No.
The whole thing just seems like, it's just, I don't know how they even went forward with this case.
He's 6'2", so he's taller than the car.
Really?
Yeah.
The car's not even gonna hit him.
No.
Yeah. You watch it. You just it, it's it's mind-boggling. Not to mention, all these cops are drunk, stiff, driving home. You know, that's the worst, right? You know, especially if the cop has arrested someone for drunk driving, and they're out there driving drunk. Yeah. You know, no one's talking about that stuff, right?
Nope.
They're all stiff driving home from the bar. What was that guy? ATF agent? What was the other guy who was hitting on her? Brian Higgins or whatever?
That's him, the ATF guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was trying to hook up with her, right?
Yep. There was a court session. They went through like 72 pages of text messages. It was fucking brutal.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're flirting hard.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to fucking hit that, you know? Right. Yeah, it's crazy. It's getting deep. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. We got a lot going on, too. We had Donald Trump get found guilty yesterday. And what does that mean? It seems like he surged in popularity. His website got shut down for donations. I said it from day one that they're just not going to let this guy become president again. But other people are like, oh, no, he's gonna. And I've always said, no, there's no way. Like, before, I was like, someone else should have run like DeSantis. But he didn't do as good. Everybody loves Trump, you know. And I just said from day one, man, they're not. I don't know what they're going to do, right? But the bottom line is, and I think you're delusional if you argue this. I understand, you know, people that hate him. But there's no way he would have got indicted or tried if he wasn't running for president again. They're scared of this guy. There's no way.
They should be.
If he just went away, you think they would have indicted him?
No.
And charged him with all these crimes and everything?
No.
Nonsense crimes? That's, yeah.
They're scared of him.
Yeah, and the guy's got fucking balls. That's why I like him, because he's got balls, you know? He doesn't care what anyone else says.
He says it like it is.
He says it like it is, and yeah. He knows, you know, they hate him, so they found him guilty. And I'm not sure what happens. I don't know all the fucking ins and outs of the legal system, how it works. I heard the judge can sentence him to up to 4 years, and it's at the judge's discretion. Bundy seems to think he can't go to jail. I know you can appeal it, obviously, and you can stay out on bail while you appeal it, but that's not automatic. I mean, it's kind of rare in our case. Like, if we get convicted of something,
right,
and we're appealing it, you appeal it from jail, and it, you know, especially if you're only doing 2-3 years, by the time it gets to the SJC or whatever, you're out, your bid's done.
They're going to be rolling soon, the SJC, on that.
On what, specifically?
Because he was the president. Even though this happened after he was president, he had all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because he was president, he's immune to anything.
But didn't they already strike that down?
No, it's still up there. It's still up there now. And they're going to rule on it soon. And once they rule on it, then all this is bullshit.
We'll see. I think the judge locks him up. The judge hates him. He keeps running his mouth through the whole trial, saying stuff. Now the judge has him right where he wants him, right? Don't you think? That's the deal right now? It's just fucking crazy. I couldn't believe it. Right when they come back unanimous, I said, oh, he's done.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way they're going to all come back.
Counts.
Yeah, unanimous, not guilty. No chance.
That's crazy.
So we got that going on. What else we got going on this week?
Nice.
We got the Boston Celtics, right? There we go. Yeah, this is it, man.
When's that
this
start?
Is it. I believe it starts Thursday night, right, June 6th. Yeah. Kyrie Irving coming back to Boston. How big is game one Thursday night?
Yeah.
It's huge. I've been saying all along, I don't know, I got to go to New York. I go to the Boxing Hall of Fame every year with Mickey and Dickie. We go Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but I usually leave on Thursday. So I don't think I'm going to be at game one because I got to drive to New York. They fly down and then we all drive back together. That's how we do it every year. a good friend of mine, Michael Mora, former heavyweight champ of the world, is getting inducted this year. So it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time up there. And it's nice going up there, way up in upstate New York, by outside of Syracuse, Canastota, New York. I mean, it's the middle of nowhere up there. It's kind of a cool thing. Get away, you know? See how people live like that out there. You know, it's such a big deal every year. It's the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and they have a parade. And, yeah, we're in the parade. It's awesome. Every year I jump in the car with them. Yeah, it's awesome.
Who are you going up there with, Dickie?
I just drive down. Then me, Mickey, and Dickie fly. And then we all drive home together every year. That's the move. Every year, Marvin Hagler would be there. We'd have a great time. He's no longer with us, which sucks. It's going to be 2 years yet. He hasn't been there.
Really?
Yeah, that sucked, man. Marvin was the man.
Yeah.
But most fighters are good people, and we always have a good time up there. Dickie's always a barrel of laughs, and Michael Mora. we always have a good time. So just to see Michael get inducted, It's a long time coming. I mean, he was a light heavyweight champion. His record as a light heavyweight was 31-0 with 31 knockouts. Then he went up to heavyweight division. He beat Holyfield. He had some losses. He lost to David Tour, and his biggest loss, obviously, was against George Foreman. When George Foreman come back at age, whatever he was, 46, and became the heavyweight champ of the world. Michael was beating him, and he got caught with a right hand in, like, the last round and knocked out, which is fucking terrible. But I mean, here's a guy fighting out of the Kronk gym in Detroit who just dominated the amateurs, light heavyweight, arguably the best light heavyweight ever, 31-0, 31 knockouts. I mean, how do you – that's just fucking amazing. He just crushed everybody he fought. Then he went up to heavyweight, and, you know, he won the green strap. He won the belt, you know, the belt, you know, heavyweight champion of the world, which is, you know, quite a fucking accomplishment. He had Teddy Atlas in his corner, who used to have Mike Tyson when he was a kid, and he always wanted a heavyweight champion because he put a gun to Tyson's head over something, and Tyson ended up going with Kevin Rooney, and he watched, you know, him make all this fucking money and all that. So Teddy Atlas trained Mike, and he got him in there, and he won, you know, light heavyweight champ of the world, heavyweight champ of the world, first left-handed heavyweight champ of the world. So we'll have a good time, you know, Michael. Somebody I know from social media who did some time in the feds, you know, some guys I know from Boston, he reached out to me, and he has a cannabis dispensary in Syracuse, and his friend has a podcast studio. So I already reached out to him to try to do a podcast, and I'm out there with Double M, Michael Moore, and maybe get Mickey over there. Definitely have Dickie, you know, and get Michael. Michael loves the cannabis product. So
yes,
yeah, so we'll take him over to my my guy's cannabis shop, and we'll have a good time up there. What else, Bundy?
Yeah.
I think it's time that Bundy told us a little bit about himself.
I'm good.
What do you mean you're good?
I'm good.
What do you mean you're good? Do I got to drag it out of you?
I'm good.
All right, so I met Bundy. Hi. 16, 17,
about that.
I met Bundy one of the first nights. Bundy was a known car thief in the neighborhood. He used to steal the IROCs.
Yeah.
The IROC Z28s.
A lot of them.
A lot of them, stealing from the dealership. Bundy was known to be quite the driver.
Yeah.
In a few high-speed chases. I remember him pulling up at the store, Frank and Ernie's, and doing donuts, and cops chasing him. And Bundy was always always a scrapper, you know, always, you know, getting in fights and stealing cars. And if you don't mind me saying, he used to like partaking in the old white.
Yeah.
Just a sniffer, though. Bundy liked to sniff the gaggers, you know?
That's right.
And Bundy would sniff gaggers. And, you know, like we all did, right?
Yeah.
Bang chicks, sniff coke, steal cars, and just, you know, and bang people out, which what Bundy was known for. And I remember one night I was with Bundy. I was probably 16, and he had this Z28. What was that thing?
the 79 with the T-tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my real one.
Yeah. maybe the only car he's ever owned. No, you've owned a couple. You owned a couple. Didn't have like the traction bars and everything
in it. That was nice.
So I got in this car with him and another friend of mine, Tommy McLaughlin, and we, you know, a couple eight balls. And I remember he'd always wear like shorts with like fucking boots, like Herman Survives, Timberlands, like fucking
Bundy. Middle of summer.
Bundy was
a winter dog.
Bundy was always shorts and boots on. And I remember I'm with him and we're just railing Gagas. And he's fucking driving, you know, 120 miles an hour, getting on the highway. And no one's saying a word in the fucking car. And I remember we went down, there's this highway in Lowell, VFW Highway. And in the middle of it, there's like this big bump, you know. And I remember he hit that thing, and I don't know how fast we were going, at least 100. And, you know, it fishtailed a little. He's just locked in like, you know, straight in the car. And I'm fucking thinking I'm going to die, but I'm too geeked out to say anything. And I always think of that with Bundy. When we were younger, Bundy, before then, did I say your nickname?
Yeah.
Bundy's nickname when we were kids was Babe, as in Babe Ruth.
Yeah, man. I was a good ball player.
Yeah. Bundy was always crushing home runs in Little League and stuff, apparently. Yeah. And that's when I knew him back then, you know, knew of him. And then I, you know, got to know him a little better when I was 16 and 17, driving around, doing coke with him. I remember him always stealing the IROX when the IROX Z28s come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we lost touch a little bit here and there. And then, you know, years later, I don't know when it was, man, maybe 91, 93 or something. I went into Billerick House of Correction where Bundy had made quite a name for himself. Quite a name for himself. Yeah, he made quite a name for himself. And I know, this guy Bundy knocked this one out. He knocked that one out. And I come up the stairs and there's fucking Babe. I go, Babe. He come over. He's like, yeah, don't call me Babe in here. It's Bundy. And yeah, you know, we talked about it before, him going to Middleton, grabbing the cop's arm through the trap and slicing him up. And like I said, Bundy made quite a name for himself in the House of Corrections in Billerica and Middleton, and then in state prison and all around. And then how did you end up in New Hampshire State Prison? What happened up there?
I think a bobcat.
Bundy is a heavy equipment thief.
Trailers. And then while I was waiting trial, picking up cases while I was in there.
Yeah. Assault and battery on a CO? Did you hit him? Or was it something?
Two COs.
What happened?
I was in a hole for a fight, and I had a chain. I didn't have a shirt on. I had a chain on my neck. And he opens the door, and I'm thinking it's rec time because one cell at a time. So I come out, and he rips the chain off my neck. And he's like almost in my cell. He's in between. And I just dropped him. I hit him. He went out, and he was like stuck. They couldn't shut the door because he was stuck half his body's in his cell. The other half's out. And I just stepped over him and just walked out. I took a shower, and next thing you know, about 20 cops. So he bundled me. And I'm in a hole. I got a ticket, assault and battery, and a correctional officer.
They give you a beat. Yeah,
so
they
must have given you a beat. I thought we were even because he ripped the chain off my neck. He shouldn't have ripped it off.
Yeah.
Then about 2 months later, I'm looking in the paper, union leader, said Robert Dussault, assault and battery, and correctional officer, indicted.
Indicted.
Another 3 years for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew you. Yeah, you were up in New Hampshire for a while. I, you know, hear your name all the time.
Yeah.
And then me and Bundy ended up back. After that, we ended up back in Billerica. When was that?
It was a few times.
Yeah.
Then the last time, I know they separated. They didn't want to let us near each other.
Yeah.
Said, no, you're going to Dartmouth, Fall River, you're going to wherever they...
Worcester and then Worcester, South Bay.
Yeah. Using odd, staying together.
We had a lot of fun in there. We ended up getting in a fight with a guy who was kind of crazy, and it turned into a Bundy fall. It was a crazy situation. Yeah. We probably talked about it before. But yeah, after that fight... It turned into this big, big thing. You know, there was other fights, and I got in a fight with someone else in the tier. And like he said, they shipped me out. They shipped me out to Worcester House of Correction, and they shipped him to Dartmouth. And when you come back, they were shooting you with shooting. What were they shooting?
The Dartmouth, yeah, they were shooting me with them paintballs, and they fucking hurt like they were like pepper spray, but they were balls.
Yeah,
and yeah, they hurt like a motherfucker.
All welts all over them.
Yeah. Hey, finally, I coughed up. Yeah, and, I had fucking about 1,000 welts on me, you know, trying to hit the prick. It's like.
Oh yeah, they're motherfuckers.
Like, I give up.
They're motherfuckers, like with cuff the mace and everything. Yeah, they suck. You know what I mean? They love doing. They get pissed because they have to put on all that shit. There's all mace on, and they're choking themselves. So they make you fucking pay. You know?
Yeah.
They make you pay. Once I saw that gun, my hands would have shot right through the trap, and I would have cuffed up. But that's me. You know? They sent that time when they sent him. And then we ended up going back. Then I went to Salt Bay, but. They sent me to Wisterhouse of Correction, and they said they sent Bundy to Dartmouth out there by Fall River and New Bedford. They're a different breed out there.
Yeah, they are.
They're like Rhode Island people. They talk different. It's really different. You know, it's really different, that part of Massachusetts. Just a different breed. Yeah. A lot of good guys, though. A lot of good Portuguese out there. I met a lot of good Fall River, New Bedford guys, Taunton. You know, good and bad everywhere. You know, sometimes you meet people from certain places and you're like, but, you know, don't matter where you're from, you know. You could be from fucking Duxbury or fucking South Boston or fucking, you know, Winthrop of Charlestown. Don't, you know, you learn that over the years, you know, that it don't matter where you're from, you know.
It's
that,
what you're about.
It's what you're about, and there's good guys everywhere. But
when
they sent me to the Wisterhouse of Correction and they sent Bundy to Dartmouth, when I first got there, when that's when the guy tried to steal my radio in the holding cell, he stole it out of the they took it out of my manila folder, and then I come out and I found it. I looked through everyone's stuff and I found it, and I fought the guy, and then it looked like I got there and I just picked somebody out in the holding cell and just started banging them out because I couldn't say, well, the guy stole my radio, you know. So they're like, this fucking guy just got shipped out of Bill Ricker for fights, and now he's immediately in a fist fight with some guy named Bullet in the fucking holding tank. Bullet had gold teeth.
Not no more.
Had gold teeth. But yeah, so I was in the hole in Worcester for like 2-3 months, and they starved you there. That place sucked, Worcester House of Correction. And then they sent me back to Billerica, and I met up with, they were in the hole because Bundy got shipped back from Dartmouth. They didn't, both places didn't want us. And then, I don't know, they ended up sending me to South Bay. And what'd they do with you? Did they keep you there?
I don't know. Yeah, I think I was there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
Nobody
used to,
else except me.
When they had the hole, which is down under the GLO report there, we had a lot of fun down there. But
yeah, that was all right.
Yeah. Then they made segregation up on the third tier. in the old jail, they had these plastic plexiglass that you put in the windows, and we could take it out and wrap it in a sheet and wedge it in the door, and you could flood out the cells, and the water would literally get, you know, 8-10 inches high up by your knees, above your shins. And we'd have 3-4 guys flooding out their cells, and then just pull the floodgates, and it would be like a tidal wave down the tier, and the cops would be fucking going nuts. You know, usually do it right before shift change, like 11 at night, so the cop would be out there fucking squeegeeing,
writing reports for 3 hours.
Writing reports. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of fun in the hole in Billerica back then. But yeah, Bundy, from I went away young. I just found some old papers yesterday from DYS in like 1983, 84. Yeah, I was 14 years old, and I'm like, wow, I was fucking, you know, I was locked up at that age.
That was probation who gave you that?
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, I had this stipulation sheet. it said, you know, You'll follow, you know, rules from your mother and father. They didn't live together, though. Phone privileges will be discussed when you return home. You can't go out on a school night. I had this parole paper from when I was 14 in DYS. And it was, I got it, and I'm like, oh, my God. And my daughter looked at it, and she goes, what does this mean? Phone privileges will be discussed. And I said, well, back then there was only one phone in the house, you know? So, you know, they'd be like,
no cell phones.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you can't go out on school nights. You know, I'm just signing it. Like, yeah, no problem. Get out, fucking see you later.
Right.
But Bundy got locked up a little later. What, 18, 19? What was your first bid?
I think I was 18, 19. Yeah, 18, 19.
And what was your first bid, Billerica?
Billerica, yeah.
For what? Stolen cars?
Stolen cars. The Halisey, remember when Halisey was there in Tuxbury?
Yeah, Halisey Chevrolet. Yeah.
I remember in like a month's time, I probably stole like 18 IROCs and just stripped them. I remember I finally got caught for one, and I'm in court. I'm in Lowell District Court, and there was an old security guard, and he's talking to Judge Walker.
Rest in peace, Judge Walker, by the way.
Judge Walker was awesome.
Yep, Judge Walker was a great one.
I lost my job. That was the only, I needed that job. I lost my job because of this kid right here. And I looked down. I'm sorry, buddy. All right.
Nothing personal.
I couldn't catch him. Should have tried a little harder.
So that was your first one.
Yeah, that was the first
Halisey,
one.
Fallacy, the IROX.
Yeah.
For some reason, I remember you in like a gray IROC wailing on it for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It was a fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything. Those are, if people don't remember, the IROX were a Z28.
If you had the one with the 350,
350
real
V8.
Fast,
oh,
real
the 350
fast.
V8. Unbelievable. It's like a Corvette engine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I had one.
Things were real fast.
Yeah, those things, you know, you're going to chase with them. You're fucking. I remember I was in a chase with one and the T top wasn't locked in. It fucking whoop. Flew right off.
Yeah.
And then I fucking had the car. It was fucking no T-top on the driver's side. It'd be raining. I'd be fucking getting wet. And I'd fucking trash bag over the fucking thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was your first bid.
Yeah.
And then what was after that one?
A bunch of them after that. Usually stolen cars. Stolen cars. Until I got a little older, then I started stealing it, like a little heavy equipment, little stuff. And then when I got older, a little older, than the heavy equipment.
What got you into the heavy equipment? Your uncles?
No, I just the money. Right? And the kid told me, he said, if you get me that, I'll give you $7,000-$8,000. And I thought about it, and I said, well, that's easy. It's instead of going to the store and stealing a candy bar, and you're getting the same amount of time, it's just, fuck it, I'll back up. I can steal it and get $8,000. It took me 10 minutes to do it. And then I started doing that all over the place. Making tons of money, and blowing tons of money.
Yeah, I always used to joke about Bundy. I'd say they must say like when he gets locked up, all this heavy equipment stops getting stolen, and then when he gets out, you know, like they gotta have like you know they got the cops got the push you know the push pins in it like heavy equipment thefts, you know, all around Lowell, 1,000 of them. Then he goes to jail for 3 years. It's
that's one thing I never did. Never shit my neighborhood.
Yeah,
with that shit, it's always far away.
Yeah, yeah, you go. New Hampshire, Maine. You get around.
Yeah.
You get around.
Yeah.
You'd stray a little close sometimes. Sometimes you'd be,
with
know,
the little stuff, I would.
Yeah. He'd be like, no, it's from Maine. I'd be like, come on, Bundy. It's from fucking Lawrence. You know what I mean? You've been gone for fucking 3 hours. Like, no, it's from far away.
Put
like, you left
at
7.
On it.
It's 8:45. You know what I mean?
We're going 15 minutes.
So, Bundy became quite the heavy equipment thief.
Yeah.
You've stolen. What have you stolen?
So many things. Right. So many. Front end loaders, excavators, a bunch of skids, the wood chippers, you name it.
The walk on
them. If the money's there.
The walk on lawnmowers. You got a ton
lawnmowers.
Of those.
Yeah, quite a few of them. They're $15,000 a piece.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Quite a lot of them.
You've even stole boats, haven't you?
For the motors. Not for the boat, but for the motors.
Yeah.
Take the motors off. Somebody wants a 300 horse Merc.
Yeah.
Take it off and give me fucking $5,000. Took me a half hour.
Yeah.
But that was a while ago.
And, yeah, that was at least 7 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, at least.
At least 7 years ago. Start
your limitation.
Yeah, my friend. We're talking 2000.
I was a little kid.
17? and before. Or we wouldn't be talking about it.
Right.
But he has stolen everything. And I know we talked about it. We touched on it before. But I remember I was living in a, you know, crack house, trap house,
right,
shooting gallery. And Bundy got out and he called me up, you know, you want to make some money. And we went out and I mean, he'd go out on a Sunday afternoon, Justin.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
I like that one. I remember, hey, you'll probably remember this.
You said, this is just like a regular job.
I said, hey, get the different trailer hitch. You'll come back with a 2-inch ball. I said, no, I need the 2.5-inch. He's over there digging. All right, here it is.
We're in this fucking landscaping business, Justin. It's like Washington Street in Braintree, right? Yeah. Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock. We pull up. It's like a fucking main street. We got bolt cutters. We can cut the gate. He's like, pick up the lock. We didn't leave any evidence. So we go in. We shut the gate. We pull in the back. Oh, we were there for a fucking hour.
Yeah, we're there for a while.
We hooked up this giant trailer. What did we get? The big machine.
Quite, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. And, you know, Bundy probably got like 12 grand.
No, I didn't.
Gave me like 500 bucks and a fucking $20 bag of dope or something. Fucking scumbag. That's why.
Got hooked up. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's why.
I gave you $1,000.
People are like, why are you always talking shit to Bundy and breaking his balls? I'm like, yeah, don't worry. Bundy's fucking got me. Bundy's got me plenty of times. But yeah, the stuff he do, you're not going to meet people every day that go out with fucking trucks and a trailer hitch at fucking broad daylight. Right. And we'll just pull up and hook up your boat and fucking drive away with it, Justin. You know what I mean? He'll pull up in your driveway and steal a fucking cigarette boat. Fucking drive away. All
right. Drive away with it. This one time, right? This is years ago anyways. I'm in Marblehead. This is one road in, one road out. I'm pulling in. I backed up. I hooked the trailer up. It was a nice Boston Whaler. So I'm pulling up the street. It's a small cobblestone road, and I'm trying to turn with the trailer. I forget to have the trailer on the back.
It gets stuck.
I'm sitting there for like a half hour trying to fucking get the fucking thing off the curb, but finally I did. I didn't get caught.
What was it?
I didn't get caught. I was sweating bullets.
Did you ever get caught in the act?
No, never.
You've gotten so chased close. Where they got your plate and they got...
One time with Johnny.
Yeah, John Sullivan, this guy I know.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
I just seen Johnny yesterday.
So funny thing, his brother-in-law owns a giant construction company, and this day it's a Salisbury Beach. The guy has a big trailer. It's got like $30,000 worth of tools in it. He happens to take a drive up there with this girl. Go on, my
pouring rain.
Pouring rain. My cousin's building this big development. He pulls in. He tells me afterwards, he's like, I pulled in. There was a guy hitching up the trailer in this. He had a gold
Yukon.
Yeah, the gold Yukon, right? And I'm like, oh, my God. This is. So I'm like, oh, my God. So my friend's telling me this. This guy, Johnny's a real estate developer. Like, he's not in the criminal life at all. So he's telling me this, and I'm like, oh, my God. It's fucking Bundy, you know? So, like, a few years go by, and Bundy gets locked up, and I go, John, like, so Bundy, right? I never say nothing to Bundy. He gets locked up. He's away. So John's telling me a story. He's like, I get in a chase. He goes, I'm chasing this guy on the highway. He goes, he's fucking doing 100 miles an hour, weaving out of cars. He goes, I'm right on his fucking ass. I'm going, you know, he calls 911. He's calling in the plate. So he's telling me a story, and I'm like, wow, right? So now a while goes by. I go, John, you know, Bundy, get out. I go, that was Bundy, right? So I never said nothing to you. So like 2 days later, I don't even say nothing to Bundy. We're driving up the beach. He goes, did I ever tell you that story where that guy pulled in right here and was chasing me? I go, Bundy, I got a little surprise for you. That was John. He goes, John from Tewksbury? Cell? I go, yeah. He goes, no fucking way. I call up John. He comes over. They're fucking laughing about it. Yeah. Trey's like, John goes, the second the cop called me and said the stolen plate came back to Lowell, I said, I knew that scumbag was from Lowell. He goes, right when he got on 495 North from Salisbury Beach exit. Yeah. So that was a fucking crazy chase. I've been in a lot of chases.
I kind of figured it wasn't a cop because it was pouring rain. I mean, I couldn't even see like 2 feet in front of me. It was real bad. I'm on 495 doing about 100, and this car's right behind me, and he's not letting up. And I know a cop would have just backed off.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of other cars in there, and they're risking a lot of.
Yeah.
And then finally, I hit the fucking Lawrence exit, and he didn't come off with me.
Yeah, you know what?
That was the end of it.
See, he was stupid enough to actually think that license plate came back to you, so. he backed off. But any thief worth his salt knows you put a stolen plate on the old truck.
But it's coming back as a silver fucking Yukon.
Yeah, he'd find a plate with the same you know, same type of vehicle. So. Yeah, that was a good one.
That's why I seen Johnny yesterday.
Did you?
He's waving. He said, "Back."
Yeah, they got a car chase story. It's like that Boston cop, Samaras, who had the gun over the hood of my car. He's we're friends now, and he says, "You're the only friend I got that I have a stolen car chase story with." You know, and we laugh about it now, It's good. It's good we can laugh about it. You know.
Yeah.
So Bundy. Jesus, Bundy's my age now. I'll be generous right now. Bundy's my age. I just turned 55, May 2nd.
I'm 48.
I know. I'm a fucking fossil. But, you know, miracle, man. Miracle, you know, in and out since I was 14. Now, last time I got out was 2011. The last time Bundy got out was, it's been about 18 months.
Yeah.
It was November of 22. Yeah, November of 22, Bundy got out. And, yeah, I mean, just a miracle because, you know, I had stints where I stayed out for a couple of years, this and that. Bundy was always, you know, maybe a year, you know, in and
I don't even think I have lasted a year since I was 18.
Really?
Yeah. No, maybe the summers, maybe one summer in 25 years.
Imagine that. Yeah. Fucking.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and the way it is now, it sucks. The quality of people in there, the jails, everything sucks now, you know. So Bundy's the manager of the sober house now. He does great. You know, he's got a few slip-ups, you know. See the video I just posted on Instagram?
What was that?
The glass bottle full of piss on Bundy's bureau. I mean, you know. Any man worth his salt has pissed in a fucking milk jug before, though, right, Justin? You have, right?
That was a nice milk jug, too. That was a glass one.
Yeah, like
a wide open.
Sounds like the bathroom's
a mile
away.
Yeah, but, you know, it's you think someone's institutionalized. I thought Bundy would be right back in the can, to be honest with you, and it's a fucking miracle, and it's awesome. And he does a great job managing the house, you know. Guys respect him. Guys, you know, he tells it like it is. It's fucking awesome. It's awesome having him around.
Yep.
Can't really trust him with money, but I got to stay right on. He loves collecting the rent. He got out one time, and I said, "Bundy, you can help me at the sober house." But this was it wasn't in the cards for him to stay out. He wasn't done yet.
No.
So I got guys calling me up like, "Rent's due on Friday, right, Justin?" Like, you know, $200, right? I got guys calling me up like, "Hey, Bundy was waking me up at 5 a.m. fucking asking me for money." You know, they're all fucking scared. I'm like, "Bundy, let the guys at least fucking get home from work on Friday night. You know, he's fucking, Mike needs some money. He's going to pay the electric bill." He's fucking shaking them down before they're even out of bed on Friday. But yeah, since he got out this time, he's doing great. He got his single cell, you know.
Yep.
He's got a cat. Bundy's cat is named
Kitty. Good cat.
Yeah. Bundy's fucking, it's like a lion. What kind of cat is it?
I think it's a Maine Coon, maybe.
It's a big,
it's big about 35 fucking, pounds.
Yeah, the thing's a fucking monster. So it's just like Bundy, you know? They prance around the house and fucking run shit. So, yeah. Bundy, I joke around a lot and everything, but man, you know, you should be proud. He went in to watch this guy, Hooch, who lives with me, do a deck.
Yep.
And he was just watching how he did it. You know, maybe someday he could do that. He's about to... he's about to get approved for SSI, I believe. Can we talk about that?
Yeah,
he's about to get approved for SSI, so he hasn't worked, but he was watching a guy in the house, Hooch, do a deck, and he was kind of like showing him how it's done and this and that. So he went in like 2 days and just, you know, watched them, but he didn't really do any physical labor. And because he's got that going on, you know, so that. He's dropped 30 pounds.
Yeah.
He's dropped 30 pounds. He hasn't got arrested. He doesn't have any fucking warrants.
No warrants.
He's got new teeth.
Yeah.
And he owes it all to me.
Yeah.
No. No, man, that's my guy. That's the great thing about having a sober house. When I got into this business, I was in a sober house in Florida, and you know, obviously I'm doing the math. Hey, there's, you know, there was like six guys in this little fucking ranch house in Pompano Beach. I'm like, wait, there's six guys here, you know. Everyone's fucking paying $150 a week. That's fucking $900, you know. $3,600 a month. This fucking place, the mortgage is probably fucking $300, you know. So my fucking, like I always do, I'm always trying to think of how to make a buck. And I just filed it away in the back of my mind because I was broke at the time. I didn't have two nickels to rub together, but I'm like, wow, this is a pretty good business. You know, you get to help people, you get to help friends, you get to help other people who have struggled with alcohol and drugs and getting out of jail, maybe don't have any family or anywhere to go, that are fucking good people, you know, when they're not doing drugs, just like I was. You know, I like to think I was always a good guy, but you know, some people would definitely beg to differ. You know, when I was getting high, you know, you do shit that's fucked up. I don't care who you are, you know.
Yep.
But to be in a position to have a couple sober houses now and have guys like Bundy in there, and you know, other guys that I'm friends with, and even guys that I didn't know that are in there that are good people, when you see them doing good and change their life. And because, you know, it sucks out there now with all these drugs out there now. It's all synthetic bullshit and fentanyl and the jail system. It just used to be a lot different. Like, nothing gets better with time, you know. Everything gets worse.
Definitely,
and especially
worse.
Fucking jail, you know.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's good to, you know, I like to think I'm always in pretty good spirits. You know, I try not to get mad or argue or fight with
That's
people.
One thing. You're always happy.
Yeah, even when I was in jail.
Even when you're mad, you always have a smile.
I remember I was in Giz Green from Chelsea. Remember Gary Green?
Yeah.
Giz Green. I wonder where he is.
He's a funny prick.
Yeah, he is a funny motherfucker. I think it was Walpole. But he said, Mike Leas, yeah, he's like, do you know where the fuck you are? I was like, yeah, I got a pretty good idea, Giz, you know? And he's like, well, every day I see you, you got a big smile and you're laughing. And I said, would you rather see me crying every day? He's like, fucks no. I'm like, all right, then. You know, so I'd rather be laughing than crying.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good, man. I wanted to, you know, and people, no one asked me this week, but people have asked me, you know, about you, like, know more about you, you know, because you're always here.
Yeah, I read them, too.
Yeah, joking and laughing with me. And people, right. you know, ask me, you know, like, more about your story.
Right.
And, you know, your story has just been knocking people out, stealing heavy equipment, doing coke.
Yeah, a lot of coke.
Banging whores.
Escorts.
Yeah, escorts. Yeah. Yeah, I got a good escort story.
All right.
You want to hear a good one?
Yeah.
I'm going out. It was my baby's mother at the time. She lived in Tewksbury, and she had a place in Archstone. There were these nice, I remember it was like $1,800 a month. This is fucking 20 years ago, right? It's probably 2000 when I got out of Walpole. 25 years ago, 99. So she goes away with like our family for like the weekend. And back then, there was no cell phones and online. It was a newspaper, the Boston Phoenix. Call girls, you know,
and that's where I used to get them.
So so I got like a half ounce of coke, and I'm cooked it up. So I'm you know, I call this ad girl, comes, she's a stripper from like Banana or the Cabaret, somewhere around Saugus, maybe Revere, Squire, somewhere. Smoke,
right?
She's there with me for like 2 days. I'm like, my girl's coming home, you know, Sunday or Monday, whatever it is, right? Super generous, like everything's good, partying, you know, whatever. Say she wanted 500, I give her 1,000, whatever it was. I'm just throwing out, you know, I'm like, just everything was great. Happy she leaves. Girl comes back 2 days later, I'm laying there. She goes, she's got this makeup box in the bathroom. She opens it up. There's a fucking scrunchie right there on top with blonde hairs in it. She goes, who the fuck scrunchie is this? I'm like, I don't know. She goes, what the fuck you mean you don't know? It's not mine. And I'm thinking, that fucking dirty bitch.
Yeah.
You know? She, the yeah, you know? So you got to watch out for them, Bundy. Those girls stick together. Imagine she did that to me, Justin.
Yeah.
That is like diabolical, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so getting back to Bundy. That was the only time I'd ever been with an escort. But no, but of course not. but yeah, Bundy's life story, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty much just always like me. Like always was a criminal.
Yeah.
From when I was, you know, 14, I was selling packs of firecrackers and stealing and breaking in cars, and 13 and 12 shining shoes, selling firecrackers and bottle rockets, and then selling joints and selling coke when I'm 16, 17 and stealing stuff. And, you know, the whole nine, just never really went to, never went to school, never went to high school, didn't graduate, didn't, never had a job, and just basically lived the life of crime, you know?
Yeah.
And I never, you know, I'm sure nobody ever thought. I think that's why, you know, I get a lot of, I get a lot of friends, right? Because, you know, real friends are hard to come by.
Right.
But I got a lot of people I get along with, and a lot of associates, and a lot of cops now I know, like, that I grew up that are from around Lowell. I know their families that know me, and I get along with a lot of them. I'm not going to lie. I don't cross the bear with the police or anything. You know, there's some shitbags, just like in prison, there's some shitbag COs, and there's some guys that are great that come and give you the Boston Herald and bring you in a fucking Chinese food. Or,
right.
Oh, you know, there's some real, real fucking good guys. And, you know, I'm not going to ever paint any one group of people, you know, with a broad stroke. That's like saying I hate, you know, Spanish people, or I hate all cops, or I hate all COs. But I know there's still a lot of cops that fucking hate me. And you know, the ones that knew me before to see me, you know.
Doing good.
Yeah, doing good. And so I always got to keep that up front where, you know, they'd love to fucking knock me down. You know, they can't wait for something fucking bad to happen. Because there's always people like that when you're doing all right that are praying for your downfall. You know, the enemy, right? I joke around about the enemy a lot, but, you know, it's true. You know, the enemy's out there, Bundy. The enemy's hoping you fuck up and you steal something and go back to jail or start getting high again. And and you always got to keep that up front, you know?
And, it's not going to happen.
Fucking right, it's not. Yeah. So, Bundy, thanks, man. And I hope we answer some questions for some Bundy fans tonight.
I think we did.
Yeah. In the Kieran Reed case, what now? Now the defense gets to bring on their expert witnesses? What now?
I don't know if the prosecution rested yet. I think the prosecution might still be calling witnesses. I'm not sure.
The prosecution's last, though, aren't they?
No, they're the first.
They're the first. Yeah. See, I've never taken anything to trial. You?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Got found guilty, too. A jewelry store in Concord, Lexington.
Really?
Yeah. They found me guilty. They tried to indict me in Superior Court. And, the Superior Court kicked it back down and said, no, there's no evidence to indict him. The Concord District said, no, we ain't going to throw it out. We're going to try him in district. I went to trial. They found me guilty. They gave me 3 years in Berica. Automatic appeal to the SJC. They overturned it 2 years later.
Really?
See you later.
Were you still in?
Yeah.
Nice.
See you later.
Nothing better than that.
Yeah, but you still did 2 years.
Yeah, they still got you. Yeah, they still got you for two. But hey, fuck it. You
better
know what
than
I mean?
Three, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. All right. Go Celtics. Kieran Reed not guilty.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens with Trump. Like I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they're going to put him in jail. I don't know what, but I know one thing, man. They're just not going to let it happen. Whether somebody fucking shoots this guy or something, I don't know.
We need him.
They ain't letting him back in office, man. But we'll see. I got my guy Musa from Crave messaging me now. So, all right, that's 27 in the books, right, Justin?
Books.
Thanks,
nice,
my man.
Nice.